Alabama. So this morning, we're going to talk about passing the baton. And of course, many of us, we already know that in a relay race, the most important thing is whenever someone passes the baton to the next person. And we've seen, I've watched the Summer Olympics on a number of occasions where somebody passes the baton to the next person and they drop the baton, and as a result of that, their whole team, no matter how fast they were, is disqualified. And so we're going to talk this morning about passing the baton from one generation to the next. We're in a series of messages right now on the book of Judges. And we're going to kind of step back for a few moments from that series because it's Father's Day. But the reality is, a lot of what I want to say this morning comes from the story of Judges. It comes from the story of Judges because, if you recall, the book of Judges is an account of how one generation did not pass on the faith to the next generation. In fact, let's just go there for a moment. Just kind of hold your spot there in Psalm 145. I've got my Who's Your One bookmark. Everybody still has your Who's Your One bookmark? I'm going to put mine right there in Psalm 145. I hope that you're still praying for your one and asking God to give you an opportunity to share the gospel with someone in the days ahead. But going back to Joshua chapter 24, we read about Joshua and his determination to pass on the faith to his children. Joshua chapter 24, beginning in verse 14, he says, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your fathers served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell." Joshua says, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And so Joshua drove a stake in the ground. And he said, "As for me and my house, it doesn't matter what anyone else is going to do. We have made a decision. I have made a decision as the head of my household," Joshua says, "that we are going to serve the Lord." And if you'll notice, if you'll read chapter 24, verse 31, here's what happened as a result of Joshua's decision. Chapter 24, verse 31, it says, "Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua and had known all the work that the Lord did for Israel." You see, I believe that as a result of Joshua's determination that he and his household was going to serve the Lord, that led to other generations or that same generation doing the same thing. Well, there was a breakdown along the way. As we've talked about the last couple of Sundays, somebody dropped the baton. Somebody dropped the baton from one generation to the next. And if you remember at this passage of Scripture, chapter 2 of Judges, listen to verse number 10. Listen to verse number 10. "And all that generation also were gathered to their fathers." And this is after Joshua died. "All that generation was gathered to their fathers, and there arose another generation after them who did not know the Lord or the work that he had done for Israel." Everybody say drop. They dropped the baton. That's exactly what you see in that passage. In fact, if you write in your Bible, right beside Judges chapter 2, verse 10, write the words, "drop the baton." They failed to share from one generation to the next who God was and the difference that God can make. And that started this cycle that takes place over and over and over again in the book of Judges. And so as I was praying and getting ready for this Sunday, We're going to take a break. I know you were anxious to look at the first of the judges, Othniel and Ehud, the left-handed man, but you're going to have to wait another week on that, all right? So we're going to pause for just a moment, and we're going to think together about what is the difference. How does one generation pass on the faith to the next generation? Because I really believe that this is an important subject, no matter if you're father, mother, grandfather, no matter what position of life that you are in right now, this is an important truth for us to consider together this morning. So going back to Psalm chapter 145, just one verse, and then we'll pray. The Bible says, "One generation shall commend your works to another, and shall declare your mighty acts." Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for giving us the opportunity to gather together today to worship you and to, Lord, just to celebrate your goodness to us. Lord, we have done that this morning. We thank you, God, for your word, and I just pray, God, that you would allow your word to speak to our hearts this morning. I pray, Father, that you would help us to see the significance of being able to pass on to the next generation the faith that you have given to us. So, Father, I pray that you would speak to us during these moments together. May your Holy Spirit, Lord, help us to understand these truths. And Father, I pray that you would open up our hearts and minds, that we might hear from you. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. Now, I want us to consider three principles this morning about passing on the baton of faith. Three important truths that I hope that you'll write these down. I hope that you'll remember these and be able to apply them to your hearts and lives as well. And the first thing I want to do, I want to talk about a few myths. Some few myths about passing on the faith. And here they are. The myth number one is that it happens by osmosis. All right? It happens by osmosis. This is a common myth. That's a common myth that our children will catch our spiritual values by simply being around the parents and the church. It's a myth that we don't have to really say anything. We can just kind of let it happen by circumstance. You may have thought to yourself, we know I don't really need to say much. My kids can, they can watch me. They can come to church and they can see other people and they can listen to Sunday school lessons and they can listen to the sermon. And I really don't need to say very much. It'll just kind of happen by osmosis. Well, the reality is, let's be honest, our children don't always see our best side. And there may be the opportunity for them to catch the wrong values if we're not very, very careful and if we're not thinking about this together. You see, I believe that the Bible is clear that passing on the faith from one generation to the next takes intentionality. It takes you and I being intentional in the way in which we talk to our children, our grandchildren, about the things of God. Deuteronomy chapter 6 is a passage of scripture we'll probably be looking at a few times this morning. Deuteronomy chapter 6, listen to what the Bible says in verse number 7. God says this, "You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise." Now, that sounds pretty intentional to me, doesn't it? That doesn't sound like that Moses, who authored the book of the Deuteronomy under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, expected the next generation to come to faith in Christ simply by osmosis. No, he says you should do this diligently. Everybody say diligently. That means it's intentional. You shall diligently teach your children. You shall talk with them when they're in the house. You shall talk with them when you're on the way. You shall do it all throughout the day, all the time. Be intentional as you share and pass on the faith. Myth number one, it happens by osmosis. Myth number two is it's the job of the professionals. It's the job of the professionals. As some people have the idea, well, that's what we have the church for. That's the reason why the church hired Pastor Jake. That's the reason why the church hired Pastor Kevin. And so I don't need to talk to my children about their faith because the professionals, quote unquote, have that all under control. That's what some people have come to the conclusion. Maybe they do that because they feel inferior. Maybe you do that because you don't feel like you know enough. You don't have enough knowledge to be able to share the gospel, to share your faith with your children. Let me just remind you, if you know the fact that Jesus Christ died on the cross and rose again on the third day, you've got everything you need to get started. Amen? Just buy, if you feel that way, let me encourage you. Just go buy a good Jesus storybook Bible or some type of Bible that tells the story of Jesus and just sit down and start reading those stories to your children. Don't leave it up to the professionals. God has given you and I the responsibility of handing down to the next generation the truths of the gospel. Yes, we do have some wonderful children's pastor and a wonderful student pastor, and they have been brought here to come alongside of us to encourage us in the responsibility that God has given to us. I started to think about this this week, and I thought, for those who think that it's the job of the professional, I just want you to think for a moment about how much time your child will spend in 1 year with either the children's pastor or the student pastor. Okay, let's just say, for average sakes, let's assume that it's 2 hours a week. Okay, maybe it's during the Sunday school hour or during the Wednesday night time, and so we're just gonna use the 2 hours a week. Let's also assume that you miss 10 Sundays. Now I hope that's not true, but we're just gonna put that out there for the assumption's sake. All right, and so if you miss 2 Sundays and you do the math, that comes up to 84 hours per year that your child is going to spend with either the student pastor or the children's pastor. Now, you can break that down even further. That works out to be 3.5 days per year that they're spending with that person. How many days are there in the year, friends?
3.5 days. Okay, good. Let's
make sure you understand. So you got, and you're going to spend, we're going to round it up, okay? I said 3.5 days. Let's just, for the benefit of the doubt, let's say it's 5 days. Are you really going to expect your child to get everything they need to know from our wonderful student pastor, our wonderful children's pastor, in 5 days out of the year? And you're with them for the rest of the time. No, it's not up to the professionals. It's up to you and it's up to me to pass on the faith that God's given to us. The third myth is this: it's not worth the effort. It's not worth the effort. There are some who think to themselves, you know what, adolescence is a season of transition. It's a time of independence. There's a lot of pushback. There's a lot of rebellion. It takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of effort. And it's just not worth the effort. Well, I got news for you. It is worth the effort. It is worth every ounce of effort that you put into it to make sure that your children and your grandchildren understand the truths of who God is. I'm reminded of that passage of Scripture in 2 John that says, there is no greater joy than to know that my children know the Lord. No greater joy than to know that your children are worshiping God because they want to. My family is no different than yours. My wife and I have continually make efforts to pass on our faith to our children. And so those are just some myths. I hope I've cleared up some of those myths about passing on from one generation to the next the faith that God's given to us. The second thing I want you to see is this. I want you to see the important role of dad in passing on the faith. The important role of dad of passing on the faith. Now, you knew I had to say this because it's Father's Day, right? But I'm not making this up, okay? This is from God's Word. This is from God's Word. Listen to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 4. I think it'll be on the screen. Fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. There's your Father's Day card for you, all right, for the day. There's your instruction manual. And you know, when I was getting ready to have children and went to all the classes, you know, about fatherhood and what that was look like. I don't know, this passage of scripture is really all I really needed to know. Well, maybe not all I needed to know, but this is the most important one, isn't it? This is God. This is God speaking. Fathers, don't provoke your children to wrath, he says, but bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. This is our marching orders. I could just stop right there and move on to the third point. But I want you to understand the significance of fathers. The significance of fathers in a child's life. And especially in raising them up to trust in Jesus. In men's fraternity, the class that we took a few months ago, Robert Lewis talks about five different types of dads. Five different types of dads. It's not going to be on the screen. This is just something I wanted to add in here today. But five different types of dads he talks about. He said, number one, there's the absent dad. The absent dad, where the dad's not there, maybe because of a divorce, or maybe because he's busy or working all the time. There's the absent dad. Number two, there's the distant dad. The distant dad's the person who's there in the room, but he's really not there. You know what that means? You know, he's there, he's in the room, but he's kind of distant. The distant dad. Number three, there's the demanding dad. The demanding dad's always in your face and always, you know, telling you the rules. And there's not a lot of grace. There's not a lot of mercy. It's just do this, do this, do this, do this. Number four, he says there's the involved but visionless dad. The involved but visionless dad. He's involved in the child's life, but he has no vision about what he wants the child to look like whenever they are 18 years old. And then number five, he says there's the involved and the strategic dad. The involved and the strategic dad. And that's the kind of dad that we want to be. That's the kind of dad we want to encourage our parents to be involved in their child's life and strategic in the way in which they share the gospel and the way in which they share to the next generation the faith that's been given to them. One survey found the following. If a child is the first person in a household to become a Christian, there is a 3.5% probability that everyone else in the household will follow. If the mother is the first person to become a Christian in the household, there is a 17% probability that everyone else in the household will follow. But if the father is the first person in the household to become a Christian, there is a 93% probability that everyone else in the household will become a follower of Christ. Wow. They talk about significance. That's a significant statistic, isn't it? There is so important that the father is involved in passing on the faith of the next generation. Number three, let me give you some practical things to hold on to this morning. Some practical steps in passing on the faith. There are several steps that I believe that parents can take to pass on the faith to their children. And so let me just encourage you to think about these for just a moment. Number one, you should know this already, prayer is primary in passing on the faith. It is important to pray for your children. Amen? It's important to pray for them, whether they are 9 months in the womb or whether they are 90 years old. You should pray for your children all the time. But I think it's important that we not just pray for their blessings and their protection. There are other things that we should pray for as well. And just very quickly, I know we're getting short on time, but let me share with you, to write this passage of Scripture down, Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 14. Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 14 is a wonderful prayer that you should be praying for your children. Let me read it for you. It says, "And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding." Pray for your children to have spiritual wisdom. Pray that they'll have spiritual understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. What a great prayer. What a great prayer. And I encourage you to take that prayer and pray it back to the Lord and put your children into that prayer. Number two, we should watch over our child's heart. Watch over our child's heart. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 cuts right to the issue. In all of parenting, it says we are to watch over the heart with all diligence, for from it flows the springs of life. From our hearts comes everything. Jesus said it this way in Mark chapter 7, "For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed every evil thought, fornication, thefts, murders, adulteries, deeds of covetousness and wickedness, as well as deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. All these things proceed from within and defile the man." Jesus went on to say in Luke chapter 6, verse 45, "The good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth what is good, and the evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth what is evil, for from his mouth speaks from what that which fills his heart." You see, from within the heart comes every issue of life. When it comes to raising our children, we need to recognize that they have a heart problem. There's a lot of people who are trying to fix behaviors, and yes, we should work on behaviors, but if that's all we do, then all we've done is we've just done behavior modification. And to be honest with you, the behavior modification is no different whether a person is a believer in Christ or a non-believer in Christ. But heart issues are what's so critical. And that's why it's so important that we check and we encourage our children to look at their hearts. And we need to do all that we can as parents to protect our children's hearts. Intentionally doing that. Any objective that falls short of dealing with the heart is nothing more than behavior modification. And God's desire for our children is to make sure that their hearts are right with him. So what are you doing to protect your children, your grandchildren, to protect their hearts? I want to ask you to pray for a situation that has recently come up, and I won't go into all the details, but there, if you are involved in the school system, you know that there is an assigned reading assignment that children or students have, and I know the students are looking at each other right now. Yeah, we have those. Well, there's a book that my daughter Alyssa has been assigned to read. And I have been looking at this book as a couple other parents in the county have alerted me about some of the things that are in this book. And I've got to tell you, it is offensive. I want to tell you, some of what's in there I would consider to be pornography. And it's a required reading assignment for our children. And so as a part of my responsibility to protect my children's heart, I've started contacting the school board, I've contacted our supervisor, I've contacted the principal, haven't heard back from anybody yet, surprise, surprise, but that doesn't mean I'm going to stop. So I just want to encourage you to be praying for me and be praying for our school system that we can get this book out of the students' assigned reading for Tab High School. So anyway, that's my little plea for prayer right there on protecting the heart. But it's just another important thing that we need to be doing as parents, making sure that the heart is protected. Number three, finally, let me encourage you this. Here it is. Intentionally point your child to God. Intentionally point your child to God. Listen to this passage. We're going to close with this. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Listen to what the Bible says. Verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Pause. We should teach our children and grandchildren to acknowledge God. That's what that verse says. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. This is a call to the people of Israel to recognize that God is who He is. He is God alone. He is sovereign. And we should teach our children that He is God and He is God alone. As much as they might love their superheroes, we need to remind them that God is the ultimate superhero. Amen? Number 5, verse 5. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. Not only do we teach our children to acknowledge God, but we teach them to love God. To love God with all their heart, all their mind, with all their strength, with all their will. Verse 6. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand. They shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. God says, teach them to acknowledge me. Teach them to love me. Teach them to obey me. Teach them to follow your example. Yes, when you on wherever you are, it's what that basically says. Whether you're in the house, whether you're walking, whether you're lying down, remind them of the things of God. That's repetition, right? Don't just do it one time. Continue to do it. Continue to share. Continue to make a difference. And pray, pray, pray. Now, as we wrap this up, let me just say this. I know that you may be thinking to yourself, well, I did many of those things, and my children don't follow God. Let me just remind every one of us that this is not a guarantee that our children are going to follow after God. But this is a great reminder of the principles that God wants us to have. He wants us to make sure that these things are in their hearts and in their minds. And I believe with all of my heart that God will take that and He will bless that. And those children will one day remember those truths that you planted in their hearts. And then it goes back to that first one, which is what? Prayer. Continue to pray. And it might take praying for 5 years. It might take praying for 10 years. It might take praying for 20 years. But never give up on prayer and trusting in the Lord. Amen. Don't drop the baton. Pass on your faith to the next generation. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word, and we thank you, God, that you have shown us in your word these wonderful truths. And God, I pray that you'd help us, God, to apply them to our hearts and our lives today. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be men and women, God, that will have all that we do, all that we can to pass on our faith to the next generation. God, we don't want to drop the baton. We don't want to be like the people in the book of Judges. God, we want to be like the people in the book of Joshua. And so, Father, I just pray that you'd help us as parents and as grandparents to pray for our children. Help us, God, to protect their hearts, understanding that from the heart, everything else flows. And God, I pray that you would help us, Lord, to be intentional. Intentional in pointing our children and grandchildren to King Jesus. Father, I pray that you'd speak to us right now as we sing an invitation hymn. God, if there's somebody here who doesn't know Jesus as Savior and as Lord, I pray that today would be that day. Maybe there's a dad here, God, that wants his family to follow Jesus and understands the significant role that he has. May today be a new day in that family's household. Lord, whatever decision needs to be made, we pray that you would bless it. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together.